Blog Talk Radio.
I am editing the f- of the show. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
You better not. Not my stuff.
No, your stuff is fine, Joe. I'm going to edit the f- out of this show, including this.
I was in this sport way before you were even born. When were you born? I was in this sport right after you were born.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Yeah, you guys need to be impartial, man.
Good evening, and welcome to yet another exciting edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. That's on the Twitter. Dan, where can the fine people find you?
You can find me at DanLaw83.
And of course, I should say that you are none other than the above average comedian, Dan the Man Law.
I'm funny. And that's about it. I'm pretty funny. And I would like to thank my new followers. Hello. I've had 6 whole new followers, which is 6 more I've had in the last 3 weeks.
Well, there you go. And also joining us from the very beginning, the man I like to call the conscience I sometimes lack. That's none other than Omega Squad.
Greetings, citizens of Earth.
Yes, Omega Squad is with us from the get-go. This should be exciting.
I would like to thank my whole 0 followers I've gained in the last 3 weeks.
No.
I gain, I lose, I gain, I lose, I gain, I lose, I gain, and I lose.
And you lose again.
Now, where can people follow you since you're actively campaigning for followers?
I can be found on the Twitter, at Omega Squad.
The Twitter, and we are saying the Twitter, the Facebook, all that, because tonight we will be talking with the former, and it still sounds odd to me to say that, the former.
Ugh.
ECWA heavyweight champion. Papadon will be in the house. But before all that, before we get into what's going on today, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com lineup, syndicated there. You can follow... I'm sorry, Dan?
I just said proudly.
Yes. Follow us on Twitter, and that's at HIAC Talk Radio.
Can you hear the dog? Still going to shoot it.
No, I can't. You always think I can hear that dog. I can't.
Nobody can hear your chair either, so it's just for me and you.
I'm going to edit the... you can like the Facebook at facebook.com/cellinahell.
Hey, that we should rename ourselves. They can't sue us for that.
No, they can't. No, they can't. But then you have to change the letters. It becomes a whole big thing.
We have to change it anyway, dude.
Eventually, we probably will, once we get to a certain level. The call-in, if you would like to call in, is 718-664-9133. And like I was saying, tonight we have a lot of people coming on. We have, of course... from his time in ECW, WCW, he's been around every major promotion, TNA.
Yeah, pretty much.
Even we're going to have Tony Mamaluke in just moments.
Hey.
We also are going to be speaking with the Greek god Papadon later on.
I'm actually, for the first time, I'm really scared to talk to that guy.
Why? Why would you?
I mean, wouldn't you be angry?
Well, I want to talk about Finnegan, because on Saturday night he took out Finnegan with a Shining Wizard. It was interesting.
Well, Finnegan probably deserved to be taken out by a Shining Wizard.
No comment, Dan. No.
The man does not know how to count to three when he's supposed to.
I agree, Dan. But that's neither here nor there. We also have one half of the K-Cup winners. Keikoa, there's a dream team, the ECWA dream team. Keikoa the Flying Hawaiian will also be here. And the return of the Wrestling Roundtable, we're going to have Brady Hicks of thebradyhicks.com and referee Jimmy Dillon.
My job's in danger, isn't it?
Now, no, not at all.
Okay.
Now, Dan, what do you know about Tony Mama Luke?
He's Italian. No, I've been watching him since the WCW days. I know he started off, I believe the name was Tony Marinara in WCW. He started off as the Mama Luke's tag team manager. He was in the mob, as they say. And,
okay.
All I know is it was in the days of, well, Russo's running the show. Oh, no, he's not running the show. Oh, we have a storyline. We're going to shut off the storyline. And he was one of the ones, I believe, that the storyline was going along, and all of a sudden hit a brick wall and never saw him again until he was in ECW.
Well, now we'll be able to clarify
that. Ask him, yeah. I would like to know, because I don't think he's a fan of Vinnie Rue.
Well, we'll certainly find out, Dan. Trying to stay away from controversy, though. That's, you know, try to stay away from the controversy. But let's get right to him. Here is his theme music.
Yeah. I've been watching this since WCW. My first question is probably the question you hear a lot. You're smaller in stature. What made you want to get into wrestling at your height and your weight?
Great question. You know, actually, I wanted to be a referee because I thought I was too small of height and stature. But then I called Dean Malenko, and that kind of changed my thinking on what I wanted to do. So, you know, I don't know why. I think it was probably a bad idea in law. I don't know. I don't know if I made the best choice. I was 19 at the time. You know, I don't think I made the best choice when it came to what one might consider a good choice from the outside perspective, but it's certainly been a hell of a ride. I tell you that.
When Malenko, you just confirmed it, I thought you were trained by Malenko. Were you trained in the power plant, or was he training you privately?
No, he had his own school that was started by his dad, the great Malenko. I think maybe 20 years, close to 20 years before I started there. It was a rather famous school. A lot of guys that had made it, at least on some level in the business, had gone through that system, and I just happened to be one of the very last students to graduate before he closed it down to, you know, try to deal with a rather busy WCW schedule. So yeah. I was like the second to last class that graduated.
Oh, wow. And when you first started, how long were you in this, I guess, in the circuit before you got the call, okay, we're going to use you on TV?
I was in the independent scene for a year and a half. And then I got a call from Chris Canyon,
who had been
given charge of finding young, new cruiserweight talent. And I just happened to be one of the guys that he had seen on someone else's tape. And he searched me down and he said, I'd like to give you a shot at a tryout match. So I said, okay, great.
Oh, wow. And I recall, before you were even the character of Tony Mamaluke, I think I recall you. I can't remember. I was a WCW guy when I was younger. I think you were running in with Lenny and Lodi. Was that correct?
Wow. If you can barely remember it, I have probably even less recall of that. But yeah, at least maybe I'm trying to forget that portion of my fledgling career. But yeah, I was, of all things, a Lodi mark, which in reality would be so far from reality. on a personal level, he's a nice guy, but I certainly would never have considered myself a fan of him as far as being entertained. But yeah, never mind that he was doing a bit of a, you know, questionable preference of orientation with his character at the time. So I don't know what that meant for me, but, you know, damn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. They were, yeah, Lenny and Lodi were doing the, okay. Yeah, I remember
yeah.
that. Oh, my
yeah.
God. Wasn't
yeah.
it the,
That's what you get when you get guys in a room who have no good ideas and they've probably been drinking. Hey, let's do that.
That sounds like a good idea. Well, that yeah. ended quickly because the stuff I remember the most is when you you came in as a character who was going after the Disco Inferno for a little bit of he owed you some stuff.
Yeah.
And you were a manager for a little while, and I don't recall seeing you work any matches. Were you finally? I mean, you were on TV and you were on a weekly. You're on weekly regularly. Were you finally happy that you released? You were getting on TV. People were seeing you, or was that kind of a you wanted?
Was I was tarred and feathered on national TV by Vince Russo, and if I ever see him in public, now that he's out of the business, I'm going to punch him in the face. So no, it wasn't really the greatest time of my career, where he basically ribbed me for an entire day in Indianapolis.
It was a stupid
character that nobody cared about, and it was written poorly and orchestrated in a ridiculous manner. No, I'm not exactly the best part of my career.
Yeah, because I remember you were on TV. I forgot what pay-per-view it was, and then all of a sudden it was one of those things I stated early on the show that they decided to not continue with. And I, quite frankly, I liked it because I liked you guys. I was quite upset that you guys weren't on TV anymore.
Well, I guess it was my destiny to play an Italian character on some level, so I think when I got to ECW, they did it a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, agreed. Absolutely. How long were you out of WCW? Were you released, or did you not renew a contract, or did Russo just unceremoniously say, see you later?
Oh, no, that actually was, that befell James J. Dillon to call me on, I think, the middle of the month in February of 2000. I think it was maybe 99, whatever. Yeah, 1999. No, they just said I wasn't doing very well and that I should probably not come back, and I was pretty much okay with that.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, now you went from WCW, and you already said that you went to ECW at this point, and you became part of one of the stables that was already there for quite some time, the FBI. Now, what was the experience working with those guys and being part of that stable?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I was a fan of the gimmick before I was in the wrestling business, and then the fact that I actually got to do it seemed like a perfect fit when you incorporate two midgets in a giant. So it worked out great. I mean, it's the best, clearly the best career move I ever made.
Now, what was it like being there with Nunzio?
Well, I like to call him
Little Guido. Yeah, Little Guido.
I like to call him Guiz or Guido. I don't like to really call him Nunzio because that version of the FBI, I don't really count. But
okay.
As far as working with him, oh, it's great. I mean, actually, we're going to be doing that very shortly, as we did last weekend, or was it last weekend, or the week before, wherever, whenever we wrestled for Tommy. Yeah, that was last weekend. So, yeah, it's been great. He's the best partner anyone could ever have. He's a great guy, personally and professionally. He's the best thing that ever happened to my career, that's for sure.
What does it do to you for your morals? I mean, you went from being underutilized, in my opinion, as many other people were in WCW, to where you were working matches in ECW. You were on the card. You were doing 20 minutes a night instead of three segments a night in 3 minutes.
What was that like? Well, I mean, heck, you know, getting a push on a national televised wrestling show, giving a world tag team title run. Yeah, 3 months into the group. I mean, it was way more than I ever anticipated. It was really amazing, actually. It was so much fun to be able to, you know, semi-main event a pay-per-view. I mean, these are things that, again, as we orchestrated, I was very undersized when I got into the business, a lot smaller than you ever saw me on TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, when I was in WCW, I mean, it was a carnival act. And none of those acts were very good. And when I got to ECW, it was what anyone who ever gets into business wants to do, which is to have an opportunity to excel without the prejudice of political undercutting and backstabbing and the like. It's a family. And even still to this day, those relationships are still strong. And it was based on talent instead of who you know, which is... you're not going to find that ever again, quite honestly.
Now, what was it like working with someone like Paul Heyman?
It was great. I mean, here's a guy that knows exactly how to take any person who has some stretch of talent and accentuate it to the point where it's actually legitimate and a viable option for a television viewer to observe, as opposed to, you know, just throwing out there and see what sticks. He actually knows what can make someone get over, and he hides their deficiencies. I mean, yes, I mean, you know, Guido and I are a bit on the smaller side, but I think a lot of people would validate our tag team run because of the way that it was, you know, put on television as far as legitimate, you know, and the guys that we worked with actually helped that out a lot too, obviously. So he can hide your deficiencies, he can maximize your abilities, and he can make, I mean, you know, Al Snow, tremendous talent for many years, but nobody really gave him a second look when he was Leif Cassidy, but he took a mannequin head and made it the biggest thing in ECW. Who would ever thought that could happen? I mean, honestly, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, though, another question. You were there up until the time that ECW folded. What was that time period like for the guys in the back there?
At the end, it was very contentious, you know, because we were afraid that the inevitability of the end would come. Contentious in the fact that what would our next move be, with obviously the business not exactly having a boatload of opportunity, with WCW having their own problems, maybe even worse than ours. So we were worried, but we kept trucking on all the way through the very end, and then it just stopped. You know, it was unfortunate. And you know, I was on the very last show, which was in somewhere in Missouri. And, you know, it was a sad ending because, you know, just from a professional standpoint, obviously, but from a fan perspective, like, you know, I've always considered myself a fan first of wrestling. It was sad because I would stay up until 4 in the morning and try to watch it on syndicated Saturday morning, you know, and be mad when I fell asleep or was preempted. You know, I was a real fan of the product, and to see it just end unceremoniously was unfortunate, that's for sure.
I briefly just want to go over at this point ECWA. Of course, you made your debut September 15th against Josh Daniels.
Yeah.
What was it like? You know, coming into ECWA that has a 45-year history.
Oh, it was an amazing experience, and the guys in the back were really great to me as far as inviting me into their little family there, especially Mr. Ooh La La, who I've now have put on his number three favorite wrestler of all time. But it was a heck of a fight, I know that. You know, I knew going into it that Daniels was going to be, you know, he's a gritty guy in the ring, and we stomped on each other until there was no more time left in the match, and we just stomped on each other some more. It was a real fight. It was a good fight, too.
Now, of course, you're coming back October 20th in Sewell, New Jersey, and that's against Papadon.
Sure. Yeah, that's a big deal for me, personally, because I think many would regard him as, if not the best guy in the group, he's certainly very high up on the list, notwithstanding the fact that he has recently lost the title, which makes him even more of a dangerous opponent. Well, I'm going to go in there and we'll stomp him out, too. I tell you right now, we're going to fight, and I ain't going to lose. And that's just the way it's going down.
And is this the first ever meeting between you two?
Yeah, it's the first time. I've known Papadon for a while, but our paths have never been able to cross each other for a variety of reasons. But I guess we're just waiting for a good opportunity to finally figure out who's the better man. And I'll tell you, we're going to find out real short how that's going to go down. And I don't have any plans of losing this fight, as I've said before. So, you know, he better tie them boots up real tight because I'm going to stomp him out.
Okay. Ooh. Harsh words there. Now, November 3rd, you're part of a Four Corners match. That's, of course, against Papadon, Chris Wilde, and Josh Daniels. At this point, it's not for a title.
Mm-hmm.
However, if one of those guys does happen to have a title, then it will be for the title. How do you feel about that opportunity?
It's an interesting set of circumstances because, I don't have any friends in the fight, so I can just go out there with the mentality of just trying to end somebody's day shortly and abruptly, and if they happen to have a title on the line, it just makes it even more interesting for me because I'm not in the mood to go down to ECWA, and unlike some other promotions in the past have decided to put me in situations that might otherwise have been deemed kind of almost disrespectful in their approach to my character, and my standing in the business. ECWA has given me, a shot in the arm, which I certainly respect them for that because, here I am coming into their house, and there's no predetermined, let's see what the mileage we can get out of him and drop him on the side of the road when we're done. I mean, this is, for me, it's going to be a long haul, so... to be in the ring with probably the four best individuals in the company all at the same time, or the three best, I should say, and then you add me into the mix, it's going to be one interesting wrestling match, I can tell you that. How long it stays a wrestling match is very subjective as well. It just could just turn into a good old-fashioned Donnybrook, which, I've never been one to back down from a real good dust-up, so, I can't wait for that, too.
Okay, and are there any other dates? Are you re-signed for the Extreme Rising dates that are coming up?
Actually, yes, and I just confirmed this with the booking committee last night, and apparently we're on a poster, as far as Guido told me, for the date of November 17th, which was originally in Philadelphia, but because of circumstances to do with how the building is being, maintained, there's some maintenance issues with plumbing or something to that effect. It's now in Pittsburgh at the Golden Dome where Shane Douglas used to promote for ECW.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So we're going to be going out there. Now, as far as who we're going to be grappling with, I really don't know. And, like the old ECW, you'll probably find out about 15 minutes before it would be time to go stepping out into the front of the crowd. So, it could be just about anybody. I don't think it'll be Blackout. It could very well be the Dramaticos, or however you'd say that with Latin.
That would really be a great match to see FBI against the Dramatics.
Yeah, Dramatics, right. Thanks. That certainly would be fun because we had wrestled them once already in Philadelphia, and we just really kind of scratch the surface on what could, where we could take that, you know, with some, you know, familiarity, we could really turn that into an interesting program, that's for sure.
Okay, now how can the people keep in touch with you? How can, is there any way that through social media people can follow you?
Yeah, against what I would have considered my better judgment prior to opening up my Facebook page at Tony Mamaluke / however you say TonyMamaluke.com. Just type in Tony Mamaluke and you'll find me.
Okay.
And see, I'm still trying to learn the whole thing. But no, that's actually been an interesting way for me to connect with a lot of people whom I used to know and who now I do know, fans and the like. So if you know, if you're a fan of Tony Mamaluke and you wonder whatever happened to the old dog, well, you just check me out on Facebook and you'll find out that it's kind of like the rebirth of Tony Mamaluke, so to speak. As I like to say, my lost decade is now over, and now it's just full steam ahead. And you know, I'm not going to be held down by some corporate visions of what you might deem me to be. You know, it's just it's me doing what I want to do, and we'll see if you like it. Hopefully, you do.
Okay, sounds good, Tony. Thanks for your patience tonight. We're going to edit this all together. It's going to seem like nothing happened, sir.
That's good, because I feel stupid if you hear me saying, hello, 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 500.
It will all be edited. The live crowd knows about it, but the DVD crowd will not. So you have a great night, and thanks for hanging out, and I hope we can get you on again in the near future.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, guys. Thank you a lot.
Okay, you have a good one.
Thank you, sir.
You too. Bye.
Okay.
Awesome. That was awesome. I'm so glad he stuck through, because I'm asking, I couldn't remember, like, literally at the last minute, I remembered, wait a minute, before he was Tony Mamaluke, I remember him being a guy out in the crowd during, they weren't the West Hollywood Blondes. I think they were the West Hollywood Blondes.
They could.
Lenny and Lodi were the West Hollywood Blondes, and I'm not Googling that, folks. That's from memory. That's disgusting.
Well, we do have another person to call.
Oh. Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm scared. I'm scared. He's not happy.
He seemed in a pretty good mood, though, the other day.
Oh, yeah, great. Let me tell you how good of a mood you'd be in if you... Never mind.
I think he took it out on John Finnegan quite well, so...
Well, I would... That works out, yeah, exactly.
Look, tonight the worst thing that's going to get bruised is your ego. So
that's true. That
and
is
that's
true.
A very large ego.
And, of course, we're talking about the Greek god Papadon, who I am dialing up right now. Hopefully it's the right number.
Yeah, don't call Tony again.
Dun-dun-dun.
Hello?
Hello, is this the Greek god Papadon?
Yes, it is.
How is the greatest unsigned talent today doing tonight?
Just peachy.
We just got off the line with a very interesting interview with Tony Mamaluke. I want to start out with you guys are meeting for the first time October 20th in Sewell, New Jersey. So, I got his feelings on the match. How about yours, sir?
Well, let me hear his feelings first. What do you have to say?
I thought you would be listening, sir. So
no, I got more important things to do in my time.
Oh, well, he said it's going to be a knockout, drag-down fight. Going to be a Donnybrook. Looking
pier sixer?
Forward to... What's that?
Pier sixer.
Pier sixer.
Yeah, pier sixer, yes. All that, all the cliches. How do you feel about it, sir?
Well, I don't agree with him.
Oh.
And not to be disrespectful, because you know me, I'm never disrespectful.
Never.
But never. I was raised with manners. But
you
aside
would,
from
you
that.
You would never give the Shining Wizard to a referee.
He deserved it.
First of all, it's called the Alpha Omega. Shining Wizard is what Great Muta does. I do the Alpha Omega, so get it straight. And you're right. I would never do it, especially behind his back, ever. So, anyhow, aside from those facts, Ted Jerky, this is the first time we're meeting. I have the utmost respect for Tony Mamaluke because he's a very skilled performer. He's a very skilled athlete. He was trained by Dean Malenko. And in my opinion, he's very overlooked and underrated in his business. You kind of know how that feels. So he's trying to make a name for himself in the company, which I made relevant once again. And can't blame him. I mean, everybody wants to be where the action is, and this is where it is, at ECWA. So with that being said, I don't think it's going to be so much of a fight. I think it's going to be a classic, a wrestling classic. That's what I think it's going to be.
Oh, wow.
We're going to show everybody that we can obviously entertain people with pure wrestling as opposed to punching, kicks, and, you know, anger. So I have no ill will towards Mr. Mamaluke over there. Not yet, anyway.
Well, speaking about ill will, Chris Wilde, just this past Saturday, you didn't win. What's going on with your game plan? This is two losses in a row for you.
You are so lucky that we're not sitting live at the desk right now like we normally do, like before the shows, because I'd smack the hell out of you there, Double D. You know, I'd hit you so hard, I'd knock the yellow off your teeth. So, well, let's get one thing straight, all right? I didn't lose. I didn't lose my title on the 45th anniversary show. I didn't lose in the rematch. You want to call a spade and look at the facts. The 45th anniversary show, he choked me out with an illegal choke. He broke the rules. And that slob, John Finnegan, got paid off in Dairy Queen coupons and freaking Happy Meals. He looked the other way and then awarded him my championship, the belt that I made important in 2012. He just gave it to his little boy toy, you know, bend over buddy Chris Wilde. Then the rematch came along. What happened? We needed two referees. And with two referees, obviously, the job was going to get done, but it didn't get done right because you saw, and everyone in attendance saw, and those who will buy the DVD when it comes out will see that Chris Wilde had to use a chair and crack me in the skull, nearly knock me unconscious in order to get the job done.
Well, who introduced that chair into the match?
Who introduced the chair? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Who brought that chair into the ring to begin with?
Finnegan. He got tired of standing. You know, he broke a calorie. He burned a calorie or two, and he got all blown up. So he had to sit his fat ass down. So, aside from that fact, a chair was used illegally by a champion. Now, you know, you were there. You saw it. He should be stripped of that title because he's putting a black stain on the oldest and most prestigious title in independent wrestling today, Big Red. Now, I made a phone call this week to, I guess you could say he's a buddy of mine as of now. I guess an enemy of my enemy is my friend. So I called Joel Blackheart.
Oh.
And I spoke to him, and I spoke to Breaker Morant. Coincidentally, that chump that you guys like to call the champ, Chris Wilde, also used a steel chair to take the TWA title away from Breaker Morant. Coincidentally, he wins two matches for the belt illegally. Now, I don't know about you, but in the 560 days, and CM Punk could put that in his pipe and smoke it, the 560 days that I was champion, I never cheated once. I won fair and square each and every match.
The better man.
The better God won. Always. I didn't bring myself to the lower level of the Delaware peasants. And I don't fight for these peasants and lower myself to use those tactics, those underhand tactics, like that chump, Chris Wilde. Now, with that being said, this Saturday, we're in the armpit of America, New Jersey, at Carney's Point, and we're going to be having a three-way dance. Myself, my new buddy, Raker Morant, and Chris, my promos still suck, and I have to cheat in order to beat the greatest unsigned talent today, Wild, for the title. And I'm telling you, I am telling you right here, right now, I'm giving you the exclusive Double D. Feel important for once in your life. I'm walking out the Unified Champion.
You're walking out. You're putting your money down right now.
I am doubling down. I have 11 showing. You always double down on 11. I am walking out champ.
Okay. Now, how does Breaker Morant, who is the king of promos, quite frankly, how is Breaker Morant, how does he tie into all this?
He's epic, by the way.
Well, obviously, maybe you smoked one too many wacky tobaccos. You don't remember. You're a little burnt out over there between the Newports and the pot. But if you recall, he was the TWA champion.
Yes.
And he lost it to Chris Wild because Chris Wild cheated.
Yeah.
I was the ECWA champion.
Well,
I lost my title to Chris.
I know all this. I'm just asking, how does he fit into your plan come Saturday at Carney's Point? That's what I meant. I'm sorry. Let me clarify.
Well, he gets his rematch. The match was booked when I was champion. That's how I'm still in the match, even though I got cheated out of my rematch. So now we have I only had one rematch, dummy. I got cheated twice, but I got cheated out of my rematch. Pay attention to what I'm talking to. What kind of host are you?
I'm having a bad night, sir.
Yeah, no wonder you carry Brady's coattails. Anyhow, aside from that fact.
Oh, that dirty Hicks.
Anyhow, aside from that fact, we made the match. The match was booked when I was champion. He was getting his rematch, and Chris was, you know, involved in the match. Now, because the tide had turned, and unexpectedly I was cheated, and the belt was stolen from me, and once again, you know, Keener didn't do his job correctly either. I think all these referees worked for the NFL at one point. I don't know. But aside from that side, you know, the match is booked. He has two former champions gunning for the title. Obviously, he's going to be a factor in the equation. He wants his belt back. I want my belt back. But there's only one pinfall, so there's only going to be one winner. So Breaker and I have an understanding. Take Wild out. Break his jaw. Break his legs. Break his arms. Hell, kick him so hard that he cries like the little girl that he is. That's fine. And then let the men settle it. So we'll put the kids to bed, and then the two men in the ring, Breaker and I, will do what we have to do to get the job done.
Well, okay. Now, if you don't get the job done, let's just say something goes wrong, you have another chance November 3rd in a Four Corners match in Newark, Delaware, and that's going to be yourself, Chris Wild, Josh Daniels, and Tony Mamaluke.
And what's your point?
I was just bringing that up to see if you had anything to give us there.
Well, you have four great wrestlers. Well, let me take a step back.
Take a step back, yeah.
Thank you. You have three great wrestlers and a cheater who is a good wrestler but has to cheat to win in that match. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you who's the three great guys and who's the cheater. If you're paying attention to this interview, you know who's who. But just so I can break it down to you, because I know who you are and you're from Philly, so I'll break it down to you. The cheater is Chris Wild. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Now, that match obviously is booked, and the top four guys in the company right now, we're having a little bit of a four-way dance, and it is what it is. I'll just have to beat three other guys that night and secure my title yet again after I win it this Saturday in Carney's Point, New Jersey.
So, doubling down, you have 11. I got 21. You got 22. Whatever. You are going to be champion. Come at Carney's Point. So if you miss Carney's Point, this is what you're telling the peasants.
You know that made no sense, dumbass. You know that. You realize that. And that's French. And that's French for Dumas. You know that, right? You try to be funny, and it doesn't work because you need some kind of intellect to be funny, and you don't have that. If you want to go in a battle of wits with the Greek god, you're a little alarmed. But listen, how can I get 22 when I have 11 showing? The highest card in the deck is 10. What's 10 and 11? It's 21, isn't that right?
I was referring to the classic Jake the Snake promo from years ago.
Legends of Wrestling, 99.
Yes.
Which one? The one that he was in the shower with me and Gene and you were watching over and over again with the KY? I gotcha.
Oh, you...
That's the one I thought he was talking about.
You no good.
And you know what? You know what? I heard you can't even sell encyclopedias either there, Double D.
I can't what? Wikipedia?
I said you couldn't sell encyclopedias.
Oh,
I got it, great God. I understood that one.
Thank you. Thank you. Never mind. It went over his head.
It yeah. did. I,
it's easy.
Wikipedia.
No, you're an idiot.
Forget it, Double D. It went over your head. The joke went over your head, as opposed to Dan Law's nuts that bounce on your chin. Keep going.
Why do I call you?
By the way, that's right. He's the bitch. I'm not.
Anyway, wrap it all up in a nice bow. Son of a bitch. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Of course I'm still here. Why do you think I'm the greatest sunshine talent today? Huh? Because I'm entertaining.
Go ahead.
Wrap it up.
I'm shutting up.
Listen, condoms are only for homosexuals and sailors. No one's wrapping anything up here. We like it raw, okay?
I'm done.
Listen, tip your waitress, try the veal. I'm here all week. Keep going.
What are your final thoughts on this very busy next couple of weeks, months? Your final thoughts, sir?
Well, my final thoughts are this. A wrong has been committed, not once, but twice, and both those imbeciles got knocked out because they can't obviously referee a match correctly. So, like the cliche saying goes, if one thing is done right, you got to do them yourself. So, this Saturday in the armpit of America, Carney's Point, New Jersey, I'm stepping in the ring with Breaker Morant, your favorite promo guy, and
yes.
Chris Wilde, and I'm going to defeat the both of them, and I'm going to get the unified title back around my sexy waist. That's right, Bobby Fish, sexy waist. And I'll keep defending the title, and I'll be the two-time ECWA champion. I mean, now ECWA unified champion, but I'll have Big Red for a second time around my glorious waist. Then, the 20th, me and Mama Luke, we're going to put on a classic. You can call us the bus driver. Call me the bus driver that night because I'm taking his ass to school. All right? So that's that. And then in November 2nd, I got NWA Dog. I'm wrestling Breaker Morant again. I don't know who I pissed off in order to do it, but it's fine. I'll obviously make my presence felt in the NWA because I'm on a mission. And I'm on a mission to become the next NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. And step one is getting into NWA Dog. Step two is beating Breaker Morant without even breaking a sweat that night. And step three is not only securing my legacy and fulfilling the prophecies like I did in ECWA, but this time around, I'm going to bring the NWA to the glory days that it once had because I'll carry that company or that faction of companies on my back like I did the ECWA and make that title glorious once again. Now, then we have November 3rd, ECWA, four-way dance. Four men walk in, I walk out the winner. Then everyone goes home. The other three guys go home brokenhearted, empty-handed, full of tears down their eyes. You know, same song and dance every month like I've been doing in ECWA for over the last year and a half before I got robbed by these bum-ass referees. Then we have November 17th, Extreme Reunion in Pittsburgh. Obviously, they're starting to crown a new champion. You know, I like to collect those titles, so you might be definitely talking to the next Extreme Rising champion right here. I don't know who I'm facing in the tournament. I don't even know if I'm in the tournament. But if they want this company to freaking go to where ECW was, they're obviously going to want to put the belt on somebody who draws money, and that's the Greek God. So that's that. Yeah. So that's the 17th. So anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good.
All right. How about you, Dan Law? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, sir. I did have one question. Every week I always tuned in
to the Papadon show, to listen to you, not really to listen to Brady Hicks talk, because I don't like listening to him talk. Is there ever a chance that that's going to continue again?
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it this week. I don't think the people and all my fans out there, you know, both of them who listen, which is you're one of them. I don't know who the other guy is. But
yeah, sorry.
I don't think they should. I don't think they should suffer because Brady Hicks is a freaking moron. So maybe next week we'll bring it back and I'll celebrate. You know, what a celebrate show when I'm the champion once again. And you know what? Even though I smacked up Brady Hicks a little bit 2 shows ago, I feel sorry for him. He's from Philadelphia. He looks like, you know, he looks like the guy who fell down the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. So I kind of feel bad for him. You know what I mean? The Frodo Baggins-looking guy. So whatever. You know, I'll make amends with him in order to get the show going so he has something to do on Thursday night so he can stop jacking off the sci-fi.
That's probably not too far from the truth.
It really isn't. No. Thank you, sir.
Well, you have
How
a
about,
great
where's
night.
Big Burgundy? Is Burgundy there?
Big Burgundy's actually training.
Good for him. You guys should take a lesson or two from him. Go hit the gym. Anyhow, who else is there? What about the other guy you had on your show a couple weeks ago that I spoke to you guys? What was his name?
Oh, Omega Squad. He's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, Omega Squad? How's Optimus Prime?
Oh, he's doing well, I'm told. He's making a lot of money in the movies, apparently.
Good, good, good. Any questions?
No, I'm good. You know, I just wanted to say that I do find that your unique brand of derision and condescension refreshing after a long day of work.
Good, good, good. I'm glad to see I could put a smile on your face after you work in the corner all day long for your man pimp. No problem.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
It always is, yes, sir.
Pop it on. You have a great night, sir.
You guys as well. I'll see you guys, what, Saturday at Carney's Point?
You'll see us soon, sir. I'm not committing to anything as of right now.
Why not?
I can't commit. I might be booked myself someplace else.
Where are you going to be booked? At the Dungeons & Dragons convention? What the hell are you guys doing on a Saturday night?
Saturday night, there's New York Comic Con. There's other things going on. Is this the second week in a row I'm on the hot seat?
You're not coming to an ECWA event? Are you kidding me?
Things popped up.
Well, keep it in your pants, Junior, and come to the show.
We'll talk all fair, Papa Don.
All right, man. Stroke it easy, take it deep, like always, Dad Double D.
Certainly, sir.
Oh, by the way, Dan Law, before I say adios, make sure you shave your nuts because Double D has a rash on his chin, okay?
Yeah, I got it. I'll take care of that tonight before we go to bed.
All right.
Good night, sir.
Adios.
I'm starting to question why I call him every week.
Because it's entertaining as hell, and I'll make sure I shave my nuts for you tonight, Dean.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. I got a new razor, too.
How did this show start out? What was that first clip that was played? I'm going to edit.
Yeah, you better not.
My God. Well, Dan, it's our favorite time of the week.
No.
Tonight.
You know, I'm doing fabulous. And you guys, I want to thank you because you actually have me following somebody who didn't put me to sleep for once. Now, that was an entertaining interview. I'm going to have to talk to this board of directors and see if we can get Papa Don to maybe stop by Night Court. Would you guys like to see him in New Moon Rising Wrestling?
Oh, I would love to see that guy in New Moon Rising Wrestling.
You know, you never know what could happen. I'm going to talk to the board of directors and see what we can get going there.
That would be a spectacular move on anybody's part.
Not exactly family friendly, though, is he?
He can be.
PG-13.
PG-13.
You know what? It's perfect because PG-13 is coming up on the 27th. Oh, you like that?
That was a
nice buy-in, and that's going to be the day that my belt comes back home and I humiliate the American Roughneck.
The American Roughneck? How are you going to humiliate him?
I got a lot of tricks up my sleeve. I've been training so hard, I actually came down with a sore throat, so excuse me if I sound a little off tonight, but I have been training nonstop. I've been running for 2 hours and 31 minutes a day because I'm prepared to go the extra mile if need be on October 27th.
Now, speaking of New Moon Rising Wrestling stars, I do have one on the line right now.
Fabulous.
Okay, am I back? Am I back?
You're back.
Okay.
You're back.
I have Justin America on the line.
Another guy. This is a tremendous night of radio here, guys.
Yeah, really.
Justin, are you there with us?
Hey, guys. First time, long time. How are you doing?
First time, long time. It's Justin America. Now, what do you have to say?
Well, I was just calling to see if I could extend a hand to my good friend Robert and say, hey, Rob, how about we strike a deal? I mean, have you ever seen that fabulous show on American television called Big Brother?
I have. You know, I've watched it in Kid a few times when we're coasting up and down the Pacific Coast Highway in California and we've got some time to kill. Kid does throw Big Brother up, and I've seen it. It's an interesting show.
Hey, you know how they make deals on that show? They say, hey, me and you, we're going to go to the final two. That's what we're going to do. Well, how about that? Me and you, we're going to go to the final two because let's be honest. Me and you are the only ones that are any kind of threat to each other in this whole thing. Because what we have, first we have the neck, which neither of us are worried about. And my main concern is that dummy tank, and I already have a plan on how I'm going to get rid of him. So I think if you and I go to the final two, then we would actually give the fans what they want, which is a good show.
You know, that sounds like a good idea. I mean, you and I are the only two people worthy of carrying the U.S. championship anyway. So
that
I mean,
is 100% fact.
Exactly, and I can lend you some tips on beating Tank Tolan because I beat him how many times in the past, and you've wiped him out with a roughneck, so I think we can trade stories there. And then you got guys like Handsome Harold and, you know, the Empire coming in there. These are all, I mean, some of them anyway are formidable competitors, but there's nobody that can hang with us. So I see where you're coming from. I think we could, you know, form a team, get to that lumberjack match, and make everybody leave standing room only by putting on the greatest show of all time.
Greatest show on earth. We'll make Marlon Bailey jealous. But my plan on Tank, though, and I just wanted to run it by you real fast. I was going to say, hey, Tank, look, it's Julian, and then he was going to jump over the top rope and eliminate. He would be eliminated.
You know, you could probably actually see if you can find a Jillian beach towel and just lay it on the canvas, and he's not going to get up. He'll be laying side by side with a roughneck all night long.
You got a point, because he is that dumb where he would believe that it actually is Jillian.
He might.
Well, it's been great talking to you, bud. Hopefully, you know, I'll see you before the show. We'll swap some stories, and obviously we're going to the final two.
Absolutely. I'll see you in the Lumberjack match, and maybe I'll have Kit shoot you a message sometime next week. We'll see if we can get you on fan mail again, send you around the world just to give everybody a little preview of what's going to go down on the 27th.
That would be fab.
Now, Justin, do you have anything else that you wanted to address here tonight?
Nothing off the top of my head. I mean, besides, I just wanted to say, Dean, you are, sir, the Dean of Credibility. And Mr. Law, after your video, after that promo that I don't know who shot it, but whoever it is quite a genius with video
editing. The best in the world.
I wanted to say, at first I thought it was Wayne Knight in the video. Was I right or wrong?
No. Wayne Knight is actually, he's my father.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah. Newman?
Newman.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So, Justin, you
we
have
just
a friend.
We just had a deal go down on our show.
We did, and it was a dirty deal. A dirty deed, Robert.
Dirty
deed. How do you respond to that?
There's nothing dirty about the Knight Rider, Robert Knight. I mean, I do everything by the book. Everything's fair with me. Everything's truthful. And, hey, we have nothing to hide. I mean, we're going to strike a friendship. It's not going to be in the locker room. We come right out in front of everybody and do it. That's the way I do things, is out in the open, because I don't run and I don't hide. And I'm certainly not going to hide on the 27th from the American Roughneck.
Well, you really can't run or hide. You're entered into PG-13 as the number one entrant. So what's your strategy? Well, actually, let's go to fan mail first.
Sure.
Dan, I believe you have
the first letter this week. Way to bury the lead. But, yes, I do have the first letter, and I think it ties into what we were just talking about. It'll give you opportunity to answer the question anyway. Dear Robert, as the day draws closer for PG-13, are you nervous at all about having to enter at number one? And if so, how do you conquer that fear? Little Johnny, Trenton, New Jersey.
Little Johnny. There's quite a few Little Johnnies in Trenton, New Jersey. You know, Little Johnny, that's a great question. Am I nervous? No, I'm not nervous. Like I said, I'm the guy who won wrestling's only 2.5-hour battle royal. I won the U.S. title before it was stolen from me by an ungrateful thief, and I took it back. What is my strategy going into a match like that? Everybody knows I'm number one anyway. So as far as I'm concerned, the board of directors are just looking to, you know, see if they could tire me out by the end of the match, make sure somebody else leaves with the title. I got a surprise for them. I'm going in at number one. I'm the first guy in, and I'm going to be the last guy leaving with that championship. And my strategy is simple. Beat everybody. Hands down, I'm going to show everybody that I am, everything I've been saying for the past several months, that I'm not all talk, that I can get in the ring and get it done, and everybody's going to see it. And they're going to leave knowing that they witnessed history for a second time.
Wow. Okay. You sound a little frothy there. You're getting worked up.
Oh, yeah. I'm right. I mean, this is no joke. Like I said, the Roughneck and I have gone back and forth. It's been fun and games for months and months. But for him, for Tank Tolan, for Handsome Harold, and everybody else in that ring, this is serious business for me. I mean, the time for talking is over. There's been enough games with this U.S. Championship. It's time to give that belt some real credibility. And I'm the man who had it first, and I'm the man that's going to make it credible come October 27th. And I have to do it for the people, because my fans are going to be there to see me win.
And as the dean of credibility, I can say I can't wait for it. Now, the second letter this week starts out like this. Dear Knight Rider, can you let us in on your training methods for a match like PG-13? Is there anything you are doing differently to prepare for such a battle? And this comes from Aunt Connie.
Aunt Connie. It's great to hear from you, Aunt Connie. Anything I'm doing differently, like I said, I'm running that extra minute because I went 2.5 hours. I'm thinking, you know, maybe, just maybe, this one might stretch a little bit further. I'm actually doing a lot of training. Kid had me up in Arizona. I was running through the desert. We took a little drive up to Portland, ran through some woods and some rain up there. I mean, I'm going through every possible climate because I'm going to be prepared for everything on the 27th.
So the 27th, now, of course, this past Saturday, there was, of course, the tryouts as well. Now, have you heard anything back about those tryouts? Anything good come out of it?
Yeah, we've actually have some new people in the New Moon Rising Wrestling family. I've heard some good things about them, and I know they're excited to get started. And this is just the beginning, but the Proving Grounds, the training center for New Moon Rising Wrestling in Deptford, New Jersey, is officially open for business. Our first tryouts, and we have some new students already signed up and ready to go, and it's, like I said, it's only the beginning. And I think those students are going to be even more inspired when they see what we bring to the table on October 27th.
Now, October 27th, and that's at nmrwrestling.com if you wanted to check out a little bit more, see if there's anything, any more information. You can get your tickets there. So November 27th, 7 p.m., that's the Rebirth. Now, how do you feel about this Rebirth? I mean, just the emotion, I'm sure, that goes into this, because we've talked a lot about it, we're putting that behind us, but the emotion of restarting something in your vision, in the guys in the back's vision, finally, the time has come.
Right, and I think this is what we have coming up on the 27th is what we had all envisioned in the first place, and we got a little bit sidetracked, and we kind of kicked things off, and we were excited about it, but at the same time, it wasn't what we had planned, and this is, you know, a brotherhood of guys coming together and bringing something that, you know, what something that we want to bring to the table and something that we're proud of, and there's no outside interference. This is what we're bringing. I think people are going to be very, very pleasantly surprised when they see our product. The production value is going to be above and beyond what you normally see at an indie show. The same thing goes for our web shows that are coming out. We offer something that's a little bit, it's not going to just be a ring with a curtain set up. I mean, you're going to see a live professional wrestling show that's going to be well worth the $10 that you're spending to get in. So we're all very excited about it, and I think once this first one gets underway, you're going to see a whole new direction for New Moon Rising Wrestling.
It's very exciting. Of course, I'm the dean of credibility there. I'm going to be the commentator along with Brady Hicks. Can't wait to start filming for Blip TV is where we're going to be held, as far
yes.
as I know. And it's going to be very exciting to finally be part of this product in the vision that was set forth almost, at this point, almost over a year ago that you guys, the Monster Originals, came back on the scene.
Yeah, it's actually maybe even a little bit longer than that, about a year and a half, closer to 2 years, that the Factory Originals had first come together with this idea, and, you know, it's finally going to happen, and we have some big things coming up. I'm excited about the new faces coming in. I mean, we have a long list of guys who are still looking for a shot that we couldn't even get on the first show, and, I mean, there's going to be some big things, and like I said, it's more than your typical independent wrestling event, and that's what we want to stress to people, that you come out, you're going to get your money's worth, you're going to see wrestling, you're going to see entertainment, it's going to be a show, there's lights, there's music, you're going to be able to see me with my car for 10 minutes on the north side of the building signing pictures for $22.50. I mean, where else can you find something so exciting?
It certainly sounds like it's going to be a big day, a big night, the rebirth of New Moon Rising Wrestling. And, of course, your guest that night is going to be our next guest, Keikoa, the Flying Hawaiian. What are you going to do when Keikoa steps into Night Court?
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to talking to him. I've heard great things about him. I've seen a lot of great video, and I'm excited to be the first one to welcome him to New Moon Rising Wrestling. And like I said last week, he's just going to have to know where he stands in line, that the Knight Rider Robert Knight is forever and always number one, and everybody else takes a back seat. But as long as we clear that up from the get-go, I'm just going to give him some easy questions. I'm going to let him introduce himself to the New Moon Rising Wrestling fans, and I'm going to jumpstart his New Moon Rising Wrestling career in fashion like only the Knight Rider can. I mean, look what I've done for Handsome Harold, Tank Tolan, and the list goes on and on.
Indeed. So, Robert, unless you have anything else you want to pass along to us, I don't know. Do you have anything else for us?
I mean, as usual, our Facebook group page, New Moon Rising Wrestling. We have a fan page. We have a group page. As you mentioned, nmrwrestling.com. You can pick up your tickets for October the 27th. And you can follow me on Twitter at @RobertKnight_. Send me your fan mail questions, and you may have your question read on the hottest show on the Internet today, Fan Mail with Robert Knight.
And, of course, that's also syndicated at thebradyhicks.com.
Absolutely. Make sure you keep that guy in check at the broadcast table. I mean, as the dean of credibility, you got to keep that guy straight. If you hear him starting to sway away from cheering for the Knight Rider, you got to put him back on the right path.
I'm not sure if he's quite the Knight Rider fan that we want him to be, Robert.
No, you know what? I think you guys hired the wrong guy. When you can have somebody like me who spreads the word of the loner, of the hero, Robert Knight, and then you guys, the board, excuse me, decided to hire somebody like Brady Hicks. I just don't understand.
You know, well, Dan, you're right. We got to see what we can do about this board. I still don't know who they are, you know, where their offices are, but we're going to find out sooner or later. And that's just one of the many things I'm going to talk to those guys about.
You know what? We still haven't seen Mark Thompson. He was Go Thompson on the show for quite some time. We still haven't seen him. We sent him back on assignment to get to the bottom of this.
Oh, no.
And still have not seen him. I haven't brought it up, but...
You know, I wonder that myself. He pops up on Twitter every now and then, but he's usually just talking about drinking some type of Pilsner, so I'm not sure exactly where he's coming from.
That is certainly true. Now... Robert
have gone around here sometimes. I think it's probably at the board meetings where they're all drinking.
It could be. Maybe he's part of the board. Maybe he infiltrated this respectable program.
You never know. Judging by the decisions those guys are making, it's possible.
Oh, I don't know. Robert, the catchphrase, as always.
As always, I prove every day that one man can make a difference.
Yes.
Okay, that was Robert Knight, everybody. For some fan mail. Dan, a lot was said during that.
The man means business. The man means business, and we have a very exciting match to look forward to on the 27th. And again, this has been a long time coming, and on the business end of it, it's been a long time coming. It's $10 for tickets, Deptford, New Jersey. Check it out, folks.
I couldn't agree more. New Moon Rising Wrestling, the rebirth, and I hope
WrestlingWrestling.com.
I hope I'm not overstressing. The rebirth.
No, not at all. I mean, what for good or for bad, it is the rebirth of New Moon Rising.
You will be in attendance. We're going to do a live show there on the 27th.
I'm looking forward to this. Our live shows are always good. And based on the rampant success of our show, we have upgraded. And it should be actually a very enjoyable situation.
Yes, it should. And I believe I have Kay Koa on the line. I'm going to go straight to him. Let's see. 484, is this Kay Koa?
Yes, it is.
All right. I thought it was. I wasn't sure, but I'm very happy for you to join. Now, of course, you're with Double D, of course. Dan is here as well in Omega Squad. But this past Saturday, U Chambers won the prestigious K Cup, the second annual K Cup, defeating Fusion DS in the finals. You had something to say to the fans afterwards. Really emotional moment. Just relive that moment for maybe the people that weren't in attendance.
I mean, there's a lot of moments that people go through in their lives where they just kind of they stop in time. Almost, and they just kind of look around and they're like, you think to yourself, is this really happening? And that was one of those moments for me, being in the ring with Aiden and this prestigious trophy sitting in front of you, and the crowd is standing and applauding for you. And it's kind of surreal because in that moment, I basically just kind of flashed back and, you think about the road, the people that come across your path and they tell you, that you can't do it, you're too small and all this other things. But the thing that hit home for me the most was, it was something else that I could add to my resume, and it was something else that I can add as an accomplishment to the things that I've done, in my little time in this business. And it just made me really appreciate knowing that the hard work in those days where, you can barely get out of bed for the match that you did last night, and you can get to the gym and you can do another match. It just really made it makes those things all worth it. So I was just very, very happy.
Sounds good. Now, of course, coming up this Saturday, you're going to be taking on Matt Saigon in Kearney's Point, New Jersey.
Yes, what I am. It's going to be like looking at a twin across the ring. That would be an Asian joke if anyone doesn't get that.
Oh, I Now, what's your feelings going into that match?
I mean, aside of, I might not always agree with the decisions that Matt and Damian make, in the ring or, with their career in general. Matt is one of my best friends in this business, so I'm very much looking forward to it. And it's not obviously the first time that I've been in the ring with him, besides the K Cup and besides this time obviously coming up. We've traveled the road together. We travel a lot to the Carolina areas, and we're traveling to Virginia. So it's just always fun to get in the ring with somebody that you consider a friend, because it just kind of builds up your anticipation. And it's always good then, afterwards, then when you're on the road again. And then, if I mouth off to Matt, he's like, keep it up or I'll kick the crap out of you. And I'm like, oh, well, you mean the last time that we fought and I won that match? It's kind of just one up each other, so it's always fun.
Now, of course, on the 20th, you have, I believe it's the Midnight Sensations. And
it would be a three-way tag team match. And if they still have the titles, than it would be for the titles.
Okay, and it's a Midnight Sensation. Who else is in that? I'm sorry.
It would be Fusion DS.
Okay, wow. So it's the finals, anyway. Also, for the titles, Sensational have those. So that's an opportunity for a brand-new tag team, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe, like, how fast, it, you know, Aiden and I are taking off. I mean, I had received a message, you know, saying that we were getting a lot of positive feedback, that a lot of people like the Dream Team, they like the ECWA Dream Team, and, you know, they hope that, you know, we stick around. And, you know, I'm following Aiden's words. I mean, Aiden was definitely one of the guys that said, you know, let's keep the ball rolling with this after that kind of win. So, you know, and I don't see any problem with that. So I hope it lasts just as long as everybody else wants it to.
Sounds great. Now, go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, now with this tag team, is your singles career going to take a back seat, or are you going to still concentrate as much on the singles as well as the tag team?
No, it's definitely both. I mean, for those that don't know, I was already in a tag team. I was teaming with a guy by the name of Sebastian Cruz, and we were known as Tropic Thunder. And even though that we were a tag team, you know, we were still focusing on our singles careers. So now that I'm teaming with Aiden, it's basically just the same program, and especially because he lives kind of far away from me, so it's kind of hard for us to travel the roads together. So yeah, the singles career is definitely not put in the back seat.
Now, of that career, you will be making your debut with New Moon Rising Wrestling on the 27th, PG-13 expanded. Your opponent that night will be Crazy Ivan. Do you have you watched any tape? Do you know anything about this guy?
I know a good amount about Crazy Ivan. When I used to wrestle for ECPW, and I would be at a lot of TV tapings with him. So I know what he's capable of, and I know his style and everything of that sort. So it's definitely not something that you know, I'm worried about. I'm always confident going into another match. But I definitely am looking forward to the resurrection of New Moon Rising, and I've heard a lot of great things about, you know, basically what this show coming up. I've heard a lot of good things, so I'm definitely looking forward to it, and I'm definitely, you know, hoping that I can add to the company and make it grow, you know, as much as they want it to grow.
Sounds great. Now, also that night, you're going to be a guest on Night Court with Robert Knight. He's on here every week. You caught the tail end of his segment this week. Do you have, are you trepidatious walking into the treacherous Night Court?
No, not at all. I mean, I've been in some of the worst experiences ever with these types of things. So, I mean, I don't think it can be anything new for me, but you never know. But I like going into something that I'm not prepared for, because then it's always a surprise and it's always a lesson learned. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I'm sure he has a few tricks up his sleeve. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But anyway, Keikoa, any other dates that you got coming up that you want to let people know about?
Yeah, definitely. I got a show coming up. It's going to be on November 2nd, which would be a Friday night. That one's going to be in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Basically, I'm getting together with an elementary school, and we're trying to raise some money for them. The elementary school is named Donegan Elementary, which is on the south side of Bethlehem. And for a lot of people that probably don't know this, the school doesn't really have, you know, a lot of money to invest into the kids. And the Sands Casino is also helping out with this. They're going to be donating a bunch of different stuff, free dinners and free overnight stays at their hotels, in order to help the school raise some money for a raffle, you know, at the event. But the Sands has been helping out with donating a lot of money and different things, different various things to the school to give the kids, you know, a brighter future and everything of that sort. And seeing that, you know, and hearing the news of that, it definitely inspired me to help them as well. So that's when I approached the school and wanted to see if they wanted to do a fundraiser through a wrestling event. So not only myself, but, you know, a couple other people that are on board with it, we're putting together this event. And it's, like I said, it's going to be November 2nd at the Boys and Girls Club in Bethlehem on the south side. So obviously all the proceeds are going to be going to the elementary school, and I think it's definitely a great cause to help the kids out with their education and everything of that sort to push them in the right direction.
Now, how much are tickets for that?
Tickets are going to be $15 for front row, and they're going to be $10 for general admission. And the only way that you'd be able to get the tickets for those that are listening that are not involved with the school is if you get them at the door. And there's only going to be 300 tickets sold for the event. So if you want your tickets and you have to get them at the door, I would suggest to get them early. Doors open at 6 o'clock, so I would say make sure that you get in line, because I'm pretty sure they're probably going to be sold out by the time the event comes around.
Sounds good. Dan, you had a question?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I just watched, well, I've watched a couple times the European documentary on your tour over there. And it was good, but it was excellent, by the way. I talked to you about that. Is there any feelers or any feedback coming from that tour yet? Do you know when you're going back, or is it pretty much just in the States for now?
I mean, I haven't talked to any of the promoters over there that you know, the business with this summer since I had left. But excuse me, before I left, I talked to the promoter. And, you know, he said that I was more than welcome back. Everyone over there generally enjoyed having me over there. And, you know, the other promoters that I got to meet while I was over there also definitely wanted me to back. But I haven't talked about coming back next summer yet. Is it something that I want to do? Yes, I would love to do it. Is it something that I'm going to do? I can't answer 100% because, you know, obviously that time hasn't come yet. And, you know, if there's something that's, you know, that might be in the works, obviously, you know, I might have to focus on whatever's going on here. But if it's definitely something that I can do, then I'll definitely be over there.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Now, where can the people, if they want to follow your career, where can they follow you on the social media outlets?
They can add me on Facebook. My name on there is Kekoa Flying Hawaiian, which is facebook.com/FlyingH. You can follow me on Twitter, which is @KekoaFH. And those are pretty much the main two that I focus on. And I focus on Twitter a little more than I do on Facebook. So if anyone's looking to pick between one of the two, I would say follow me on Twitter.
Okay. I'd like to thank congratulations once again on that K-Cup win. You really had a hard way to the finals. Next time that I have you on,
I'm still feeling it.
Time I have you on, I'll definitely we'll go a little bit more into it. But thanks for hanging out tonight, and thanks for coming on really short notice.
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay, well, you have a good night, sir.
You as well. Thank you.
Okay, so that was Kekoa, the Flying Hawaiian.
If you haven't had a chance, or if you're looking, if you're curious about his European trip at all, look in the DVD. It's a war journey with Kekoa, the Flying Hawaiian. The production value is actually very high, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Good documentary. It shows some match highlights. There is one complete match on there. And I will say this, something very interesting that I found, the audience, the crowd at a European wrestling show, completely different.
In a good or a bad way, Dan?
Oh, in a great way.
Oh, okay.
No, that was a good way. If you compare a show to all the footage they showed, every show, everybody was into it all the time, loud in a good way, interactive, compared to some of the shows I've been to on the East Coast.
That is true. That is one thing I could certainly say. Now, it is time, Dan, for the return of the roundtable.
Ah. We'll be right back.
All right, I am joined now by the room host, Brady Hicks.
Here comes the pain.
That's right, it's Brady Hicks. Here comes the pain.
Wow.
Here comes the pain.
And I'm also joined by none other than referee Jimmy Dillon. How are you tonight, Jimmy?
What's up, fellas? Good to be back in the cell.
Yes, it is a return visit for both of you. Now, Omega, you're also going to be part of the panel. All right.
Yes.
Now, the first question I wanted to start out with is the CM Punk situation. And I'll start with you, Brady. The CM Punk situation, is it a work or is it a shoot?
With the fan?
Yeah, the fan. He smacked the fan around. Come on.
No, that's not a work. No, he was in the crowd, and as you could see from watching it on TV, or if you caught it on YouTube, they were being very aggressive with him. I don't blame them for getting fired up. I mean, they almost knocked him down the steps.
How about you, Jimmy? Work or a shoot?
I mean, I definitely think that it was not a work. I mean, just off of what we're saying so far. I mean, you know, but it's not like we can't put it past them. They've done it before and done it well and got everybody, you know, and with CM Punk. So, you know, but this situation and seeing how Vince, you know, reacted and seeing those reports, it sounds like a shoot. And if that's the case, it's not good.
Okay, how about you, Omega? Did you actually see the footage, Omega?
I did see the footage. No, I got to think it's a shoot. I mean, it was way too aggressive. I don't know what those fans were thinking. They obviously weren't thinking, but there's no reason to be that aggressive and that rough with a wrestler. It was just freaking ridiculous. The idiocy of some people.
Well, they were saying that they wanted to throw him down the steps or something. They're going to shove.
Yeah, they said behind him, push him down the stairs. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, I think
yes, that's a terrific idea.
I think they paid for those words, even though it looked like an innocent bystander in the situation. But now, Brady.
Thanks for not asking me. I appreciate it. I'll just sit here and do nothing.
Well, Dan, you got some words. How do you feel about it? Is it a work or a shoot?
That's work. Good. Next. No, I was going to say, I had the opportunity to watch it live, and it's the first time I watched Raw live in a couple weeks, in a couple months, really. And as soon as it happened, I looked at Kelly, I was like, yo, did you see that guy get punched? It's like, well, that's not supposed to happen. I was like, well, first of all, he's going to get in trouble. And second of all, where was security?
I think that's the most pressing issue of the whole thing. Where was security? If they're going to have a spot like that, where was security? To create a bubble.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the main reason why it happened is there was nobody there for any protection. And quite frankly, if I'm putting on a show and somebody's going to push me down the stairs, I'm going to punch them before they get a chance, or at least try to.
Jimmy, you had something to add?
I was just agreeing. I mean, that you know, with the issue of security, but I, there's always that fine line. You know, that the fans are not supposed to cross, and they know that, and if they don't know that, they should know it. You know, and when you cross that line, you know, we've seen time and time again. There's plenty of videos on YouTube. You know, I've covered some of it on my forum, talking about it. Just putting a light on it and talking about it because you cross that line, you have to accept what comes with it.
That's true.
You know what? I'm sorry if I could jump in real quick.
Sure.
I, Jimmy mentioned crossing the line. Do you think anyone would have done that to say like the Sheik back in the day, or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's insane that anybody would even treat a wrestler like that.
Or Stan Hansen, or any of those guys.
Anybody?
You know.
Bruiser Brody. Imagine somebody punching Bruiser Brody in the back of the head. How do you think he would handle it?
That's true. That's a very good point too. Maybe there's something to these guys that are smaller stature. Maybe they can't deal with a situation like that. But I think CM Punk handled it well.
He dealt fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he handled it quite well. That spinning cross back fist. Oof.
Bruiser would just get stabbed or something.
Oh, Dan. Not 2 weeks in a row, Dan.
Two weeks in a row.
You are an awful individual. I'm... Now... Now,
but I'm funny.
Moving right along. Now, yeah, you are.
Cutting insight.
Yeah! Thank you, Brady. Yes!
Now, moving right along, the ratings for Raw were down
need
last
a shower.
Week. Will you stop it? They were down for last week. They were at a 2.5 or something. This week they rebounded a little bit with McMahon. Do you think this is time to, Jimmy, I'll start with you. Do you think this is time to really refocus their energy?
Oh, man, well, my feelings for that are always iffy because I like to write, and I've been writing my entire life, just, you know, fantasy stuff, you know, and I think that, you know, we all know about how wrestling has cycles and whatnot, and when it comes down to those times of the year where WWE is notorious for hitting those cycles, you know, sometimes they, you know, hasn't been as great up to par over the last couple of years. You know, you can attribute a lot of that to the PG era. You can attribute a lot of that to Linda McMahon's political aspirations and things of that nature. But, you know, at the same time, you know, they have to do something. And you know, the Survivor Series coming up, you know, right around the corner. I mean, these other pay-per-views have become like hurdles that you just have to hop over to get over to get to something big, you know. And it's not like that. It's not like back in the day when Backlash was, you know, meant something, Unforgiven meant something, you know, you figure who's had a meaning.
Okay. How about you, Omega? How do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, I think this is as good a time as any. I mean, there's been plenty of opportunities for them to refocus. You know, the business has been down for quite a while. I think they needed to make a shakeup, and it sounds like they have done that to an extent. We'll see if it actually generates something. You know, I'm not sure if I attribute the pop in the rating to Vince so much as it may have just been, you know, a less of a Monday Night Football game or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, I think there could be a variety of reasons for that rating rebounding. But yeah, I think it's a good opportunity for them to try something new.
How about you, Dan? How do you feel about the ratings?
I personally, well, the ratings reflect the show quality, obviously. I mean, there's no comparison that the, there's no denying, excuse me, that the show has been lacking. I personally think it was an audible when Vince was like, you know what, this is bad. I'm just gonna show up and do a program or something. I really think McMahon's appearance had something to do directly with the ratings. That's just my opinion.
How about you, Brady?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, they know that the ratings are going to be down anyway, in a way, because it's kind of a perfect storm between the three-hour Raws, where it's just impossible to maintain the kind of ratings that they had when they're going 3 hours, plus the competition from football and the baseball playoffs and a lot of strong programs on cable that just weren't in place years ago. And on top of that, like a creative lull, I mean, they've tried to make some changes, you know. They trot McMahon out every couple months because that's a shot in the arm in the ratings. But then, you know, like Joe Zanoli always says, you know, there's only so much nostalgia, and then it's not nostalgia anymore. And
yes.
So I think they really need to focus on just making the product better. I mean, I'm willing to concede that it's going to stay 3 hours, and that's a shame. But
it is.
Things like the main event show, I don't know if you guys have had the chance to see this, but it's such a breath of fresh air to sit down and watch a wrestling program where they actually build toward a match the right way. It's so nice. If they could take a little bit of that and inject it into Raw, I think it would go a long way.
So do you think that the fact that they're more entertainment-focused, per se, on Monday nights, that's a bigger problem?
Well, I mean, I don't know what people consider entertainment, but most of what I haven't even gotten through Raw yet. I'm about two-thirds of the way through it on my DVR. I used to be able to sit through the thing. I'd stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning if I had to. So, I mean, one person's opinion of entertainment, it certainly doesn't match mine. I'm sure that there's bigger issues at stake in terms of, you know, bigger issues in play in terms of the writing team and the performance and honestly the talent. If you think about it, some of the talent that's gone away in the last 2 years, they just got a lot of problems right now.
Now, about the talent, and I'll start with Omega on this one and then go to Dan. The talent, do you think the push for Ryback is a good one for WWE right now?
No. And that's going to be just one man's opinion. But Ryback, is, depending on what you think, he's either Goldberg-lite or he's just yet another strongman type character that, you know, just doesn't excite me. Now, I know the crowds are getting fired up with the Feed Me More thing, but I think that's more kids will yell at anything if you can give them the right chant.
Yeah.
I think there's a decided lack of talent, as Brady said, certainly against prior years, and it's a decided lack of pushing the guys with talent that they do have. So.
Yeah. How about you, Dan? Dan? Okay. Brady, how do you feel about the Ryback push?
Can you not hear me? I'm back.
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's just the non-kosher Goldberg.
Okay.
I agree. Everything Omega said is pretty much what I was going to say, so just go to Brady, my friend.
All right, Brady.
Okay. In 1996 or 98 or whenever Goldberg was big,
97.
I didn't know as much about wrestling in terms of the inner workings and how things are. I hated Goldberg back in the day, but I hated most things WCW. What I see in Ryback is I see a guy who's probably a mid-carder at best, that they've gotten the fans to cheer him. They've gotten the fans to shout his catchphrase, probably buy his T-shirts, I would assume, and wouldn't be disappointed to see him go after CM Punk. I don't see how there's anything wrong in a build where they take a guy who's a mid-carder at best and make him a main eventer. I think they've done a great job with it.
All right. How about you, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm on both sides of the fence with it because, you know, like Brady said, when people look at Goldberg and they look at Ryback or Ryberg, as I've seen a lot of people call him, you know, it's like back then we were just fans and you know, we look at it in a different way. And so, you know, we're still fans today with, you know, different knowledge and looking at it from a business standpoint, I have no problem with what they've done. You know, people want to see new stars pushed and built, and you know, and then now it's like you get one, and a lot of people don't like how it's being done. From a fan standpoint, no, I don't like it. You know, I also was done with Goldberg after, you know, maybe 30 wins. I was done with that. So, again, now I don't want to see it. I wasn't a fan of it for any big guy, Batista, you know, Brock Lesnar. You know, you're not. This is the '80s. You're not invincible, and you can be beat.
Now, I guess we'll turn gears for a second. And I'll take care. I have two TNA questions for you, gentlemen. Not really. Yeah, I know. Not really two difficult ones, but it's the only thing I could come up with because that's exciting. I mean, other than Austin Aries, do you have anybody else? I have three then. Other than Austin Aries, do you have anybody else on the talent roster right now that you would push with the world title? We'll start with you, Omega.
I think I don't watch a lot of TNA, but I mean, I would go back to probably someone like the old, like AJ Styles or something like that, honestly. Unless they bring in someone like John Morrison or something like that. But you spoke about the roster, so the current roster. So I mean, I go with AJ probably.
Brady.
Well, AJ is the slam dunk answer, but I mean, if I'm going to give something different, and you know, it's amazing to me if I look at the year that Samoa Joe's had and how low he was last year, and where he is this year. poised and positioned in the company, I could easily see the company getting behind someone like Samoa Joe again. And I think it would be very believable, and I think the fans would love it.
Jimmy.
Good question. This is a good question. I would have to give it to I got a couple. Bully Ray, for one. I think that he's shown for a while now in TNA that he is a singles competitor. He's a compelling heel, and does some things at times that really makes you wonder, like, even another one of those characters makes you wonder if it's a work or a shoot, and does things that really pisses you off. And, I think he's worked his butt off to get where he's at, and I think that he deserves a shot, on top, and I like to see that. At the same time, I'm a fan of seeing these homegrown talent, so, I like to see them continue with anybody that they have, built since 2002 or even a couple of years after, AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, James Storm, any of those guys, Daniels, so that's about it.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, we were speaking of the Aces and Eights gimmick, and I have the opinion that it is kind of falling flat at this point. Jimmy, what do you think about the Aces and Eights gimmick?
I'm a fan. I was a fan of it in the beginning. I'm missing a lot of things, at the moment, and then playing catch up and watching, how things played out. For what I have seen, I like it. As always, I'm a fan of the mystery angle. And when it's done right, I think that that it makes for good TV. One of the greatest ones ever done was Austin's Whodunit, with the hit and run angle. And there have been others, in WCW, they had some things good. I wasn't always a fan of them either, but, the Hummer incident and trying to figure out who the driver and things like that, so I'm digging with the TNA trying something new. But as long as there's not another explosion of groups, that's horrible.
Brady?
I 100% agree with Mr. Dylan there. With Aces and Eights, the temptation for TNA could have easily been to hotshot the angle, to push it and progress it before it was ready. But they're not doing that. They've taken their time with this thing. They haven't shown their hand yet. That's a little bit of a pun there, if you get that. They haven't revealed their hand, and I think that. It would have been very easy to paint themselves into a corner with an angle like that, but I think TNA's handling it well. And any resistance that they're getting for the angle, I think it's just a natural thing because of how long it's been playing out. But I think it's the right thing.
My final question is, so I said I had three, Dean. I'm sorry. The Bound for Glory Hall of Fame Sting thing that they're doing, I'm the biggest Sting mark probably in the world right now. I always have been. He was my favorite wrestler as a kid. And I'm just not getting behind this. Does anybody else, Jimmy, we'll start with you. Does anybody else feel as let down at this whole thing as I am?
I was at first, when I first heard about the Hall of Fame, I was excited to see what they were going to do with it. I didn't want to see anything, that was too much of a mirror image to WWE's Hall of Fame and how they, how they do theirs. But definitely excited to see, what they were going to do with it. Seeing Sting announced first, though, kind of alarmed me, just wanting to see someone who was, a pioneer in TNA who's not there anymore, maybe going first, like Ken Shamrock or something like that. So... I know, but it's their first one, and there's always room for improvement.
Brady.
Well, it's so tough because I think WWE gets criticized for their Hall of Fame, but I think that they've really done a good job with it on the whole. And TNA is in such a tough spot because they don't have access to nearly the number of guys that WWE is, nor are they the caretaker for the industry where they can induct guys that have nothing to do with TNA. That's kind of silly. I'm fine with it, I do think Jeff Jarrett might have been a better first choice just because of his significance with the company. But,
yeah.
I mean, whatever. It works for me.
Omega, you got any thought?
I kind of agree with both Brady and Jimmy in different ways. I mean, I think Sting is fine as a choice. He's certainly been there for some time and had an impact on TNA. And again, along those ways where what Brady was saying, you know, TNA is kind of in the position where they really can only honor those that have gone through their doors. At the same time, yeah, I think there was probably other guys that they could be first. I think Jeff Jarrett would have been a logical first choice over Sting. I think, you know, the AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe are guys you could do that, but you can wait on them for a few years probably. So, you know, but overall, for a Hall of Fame that doesn't really mean anything on an industry basis, I'm fine with it.
I mean, do you think that TNA should take advantage of the situation and they should stick Macho Man in before the WWE obviously will? Jim,
no.
Omega, no. Jimmy?
I mean, that would be fine. I think that, you know, it's definitely they have an opportunity to put anybody who's come through their doors that's not in WWE's Hall of Fame, they can get the jump and go ahead and do it. And that would be great. You know, I'd like to see Macho Man in any Hall of Fame because you know, he deserves it, definitely. You know, I think that Jeff Jarrett also would have been a logical choice for a chance to go into the Hall of Fame. Sometimes you never know what the issue is. Like, I've heard that WWE sometimes books their Hall of Fame, you know, based on where they're at and who and what legends are local, you know, started bringing them in. So, it, you know, that might be an issue for TNA, as you know, versus where Bound for Glory is located. Who knows? I mean, but like I said before, I think that, you know, as a whole, they, you know, it's a good first outing and they have room to improve.
Brady.
Well, that's such a tough question to ask me, I think, because obviously the Macho Man deserves to go into the Hall of Fame, and I think eventually he will for WWE. As far as TNA goes, I mean, it's tough for me because there are a lot of great people in that company, people that I know personally, and I think that for them to attempt to do something like that, to put the Macho Man in, I think it would almost be like trying to steal WWE's thunder, but I don't know that it would necessarily really get noticed by anybody, and I think that would be a real shame. So I'm kind of glad that they didn't take that route and try and just go for like a shocking headline, something like that, and instead do something that made logical sense.
All right, now the final question, wrapping this whole thing up. Who do you think, and we're going back to WWE, but who do you think in WWE in the mid-card right now, and it could be a couple of guys if you want, who do you think they need to elevate to get to the next point? And Dan, I'll start with you.
Wow. I mean, not even from the mid-card, but I really want to see Ziggler, and I still wanted to see Swagger in main event contention. I think it sucks that they are where they are right now. Quite frankly, either one of them could replace Randy Orton. I don't give a damn about him. He bores me. That's just my opinion. Please don't hold that against me. It's just my opinion. I like another guy I really wish they'd push more is Santino Marella away. I mean, the comedy thing's real popular right now, but I liked him when he first came in as he was just a jerk. And he was a wrestling technician, quote unquote. And that's really all. I mean, I don't have anybody else.
How about you, Omega?
You know, there's a few guys I would like to see do more. I think Evan Bourne's push never really materialized. I just thought he was just exciting to watch. He, you know, as far as promo guy, wasn't great, but I mean, I think that could come along. Along with Dan said, I mean, you know, Ziegler's upper mid card, but I think he's one of the next stars. I think Damian Sandow is got great potential, and Antonio Cesaro as well, I think, are guys that need to be elevated. And granted, you know, he has a title now, but I think he can be a main eventer somewhere down the road.
All right, Dan, you had a quick follow up, I think.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad Omega said something. I couldn't believe I forgot about this person, but Omega said Damian Sandow. He is my favorite right now. He can speak better than most, and he's a good worker. I think he's got the package that where he could be in the main event before the middle of next year.
How about you, Jimmy?
This is a great question that I always like to dissect down into the different divisions that you know that we have in WWE. You know, I mean, especially in a time right now, or even for a while now, where the talent roster has been so expensive, you know. But I like to say for like you know the singles division in WWE, Kofi Kingston, Dolph Ziggler, definitely, and I mean maybe like Wade Barrett. You know, in the tag team division, the Usos, and in the women's division, Tamina.
Okay. How about you, Brady?
Well, you know, it's kind of like a fantasy football draft in a way for me because I'm sitting here and I'm watching all my picks get taken off the board and I'm not allowed to say anything. I had Antonio Cesaro at the top of my list. Kofi was about 7 pages down. I don't know why he's even in the conversation, honestly. And I'm sorry. I mean, I think a lot of people like him, and that's a shame, but I don't see what everybody sees in him.
Brady, I think you're racist.
In lieu of Antonio Cesaro, the name that I have penciled down at number 2 is The Miz, actually, because I think just the fact that he's so polarizing, it tells me that he's doing his job right. He's come along great as a wrestler, and I mean, I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be at the top of the company.
Well, there you go.
So. And I know, I think that new hairdo has done him wonders.
Right.
It's like he grew up, you know. Finally,
he got a little, sprout there too.
Yeah, easy for you to say.
Now, Jimmy, if people want to follow you, follow the forums that you're part of. If they want to get in touch with you, where's a good place that people can find you? Either on Twitter or Facebook or something like that.
Definitely on Facebook. You can look up Referee Jimmy Dylon. And that's the page where you'll see me, and also have connections to the other sites I'm associated with. Definitely look at forum. You mentioned the Elite Pro Wrestling forum. You also type that in on Facebook, and that's like the official fan page. Definitely try and get that going. You know, it's me and a couple of other administrators, a couple of administrators right here in Philly, and one administrator from London that that goes to indie events over there in London and brings reports and things like that. So, you know, just want to try to bring a lot of different things to fans and on Twitter, RefJimmy215 @RefJimmy215, and there you also see the wrestling companies that I'm associated with that I'm on leave from right now, and the writing sites, news sites that I contribute to also.
Okay, how about you, Brady? Where can the people find Brady Hicks?
Oh, my gosh, I'm all over the place, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, figuratively, too.
The In the Room program on WEXT 1600 AM in Philadelphia, bbradyhicks.com. Normally, it's Tuesday nights at 9:30, 8:30 Central. This week, we're going to be going live tomorrow night, Thursday, at 9:30. We're going to have TNA's Letitia Klein, hopefully. I'm really hoping. I think we finally got her pinned down, but we'll see. I'd love to pin her down myself. So.
I was going to say
that.
I was going
to
say, yeah, I'd love to pin her down.
I finally have her in my closet. Oh.
That's the plan. She's tied up in my trunk right now, and she's not coming out until she agrees to do the show. So, I'm kidding, obviously. I would never tie her up in the trunk.
He doesn't have a car big enough to put her in the trunk.
She's just in there. She's not tied up at the moment. I'm only kidding. At Brady Hicks on Twitter, Facebook.com/Brady Hicks, and Brady Hicks Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and In the Room on WEXP, all on Facebook. So.
Sounds good. Now, Brady, I will.
Oh, one more thing, Dean.
Oh,
I'm also the voice of New Moon Rising Wrestling. I don't know if we brought that up or not.
Oh, you're not the voice. I'm the voice of New Moon.
And you know what? I'm going to be talking to the boy to see if we can get that decision reversed because I don't agree with that decision at all.
One might call me the voice of choice.
Oh, I was going to say, Brady, you're the last of the wrestling programs on terrestrial radio at this point.
We're a dying breed, but there's a couple of us.
Anyway, Brady.
Best of luck to everybody, though.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
but.
Oh yeah.
Brady, Jimmy, thanks for hanging out. I think we got to some hot topics, and we'll have you back on soon, both of you.
Oh, thanks, Double D. Thanks for letting me know. Like I said, it's always a pleasure. I mean, everyone do this. Just let me know. Hit me up.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, guys. And nice talking to you, Jimmy.
What? Okay, Jimmy's gone. And Brady, you have a good night.
You too. Take care. Thank you.
Okay, so that was a wrestling roundtable.
Talk too much.
I don't feel as if people talk too much.
No, not people, just Brady.
Well, Brady does talk. But, Omega.
Every girl walks in the closet.
Right, Omega, it is time to talk about UFC 153 coming up on pay-per-view this Saturday night.
Yes. I'm excited. And
the main event is going to be none other than Stephen Bonner. Kind of a journeyman. Never really was a contender for a title, but he's taking on the pound-for-pound best in the world, I would say, at this point. Undefeated in how many fights now, Omega?
Oh, I don't... It's 14, yeah, something like that.
14 or 15 fights. Anderson, the Spider Silva. How do you see it going down?
Well, I think that unless you are somehow related to Stephen Bonner or are, you know, a close friend or training partner of him, I don't see how you can pick him to win this fight. Anderson Silva is just that good. At everything he for what you know he's got length, he's got speed, he's got elusivity. He just makes people look bad.
Yes.
So he is the heavy favorite for a reason. He's in his hometown. Well, I don't know if it's his hometown, but I mean he's in Brazil.
Yeah.
So he is. Everything is there for him to win this fight. He's got all the tools. He's just leagues above Bonner in terms of skill. That being said, I really like the way UFC has marketed this fight. They have not gone out and said this is that gone out and saying that Bonner is this great challenge to Silva. They've just gone and said, look, you know, we've had some issues with making fights lately. Anderson stepped up. Stephen stepped up. They're going to fight. And it's just for fun. Then that's fine. You know.
And not only that, they are marketing it. You know, it's the greatest fighter, at least of this era. And it could be an upset.
Yeah.
You never know.
They're saying you're either going to get to watch the greatest fighter in history fight once again against a guy who's bigger than him.
Yeah.
And showcase his skills, or you're going to see probably the greatest upset in MMA history. Pretty close.
It certainly would be. I mean, this isn't even Fedor getting beat by Bigfoot. This isn't like that. This would be huge.
The only thing that would come close is maybe Sarah GSP, in my view.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, sure. Sure. But this has the I always like the underdog aspect of things, and I like – not that I like his chances because, of course, it's Anderson Silva, but
– yeah.
You never know. You might see it, and that's a big selling point. Bonner does have skills. He could use that weight against Anderson Silva, wear him down. Silva's not really that good on the ground. He isn't.
He's come a long way on that. He's good on the ground. He's trained Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He can defend himself. He's got those long legs. He can do things that some fighters can't do, like put you in a body triangle from the bottom.
True.
You know, he may not be a top level BJJ practitioner, but let's not assume that has any real weakness on the ground. That he's weak down the ground. He is not weak anywhere. The thing he was most weak against in past years was takedown defense, and
yep.
He's really worked on that.
Although, I mean, Sonnen did get him down. I don't know why Sonnen changed his game plan from the first fight to the second fight, but Sonnen still got him down.
It's possible. I mean, if that there's one place to get him is taking him down. I don't think you're going to press him up against the fence and clinch him because he's too good in the clinch. But, you know.
Oh, he killed Rich Franklin's career doing that. The clinch,
yeah.
For God's sake.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's too good in the clinch. But he's just got he can be taken down. But Chael Sonnen is a much better wrestler than Bonner is.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. I think Bonner's a more well-rounded fighter than Sonnen, but he's just not elite level. It's kind of been his thing for his whole career. He's just never been that next, been able to go over that hump. And then he just finds himself in a fortunate situation, and he's just milking it for what he can get out of it. And that's great, and that's fine. I'm actually excited to see the fight.
Yeah, I am too, because it's that what-if factor, I think.
Yes. And there's no... Yeah, there's no relevance to this fight in the greater scheme of MMA, but, you know, it's just that could it happen fact.
Well, it's even like Bonner said, he was pretty much retired. He gets this fight, he thought it was a joke, and it's a huge opportunity. You know, if he loses, he loses. But if he wins, what happens then to Bonner's career?
Yeah, well, he's set. No, he is the proud owner of two of the greatest fights in MMA hit. And UFC history.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, okay, I started, you know, I started with the UFC with the Forrest Griffin fight. And then even if he retires the next day, it would end it with defeating Anderson Silva.
That would be amazing. What if? Now, what else is on that card that strikes your eye? There are a few good fights on there.
There are good fights on here. The co-main event is Dave Herman versus Big Nog. I think that's a winnable fight for Big Nog.
Oh, that's Big Nog. Big Nog's back after that horrible after his arm was torn from him by Frank Mir.
Yeah, he is back. So he's going to be fighting Dave Herman, who's a fairly decent striker. But I think Nogueira is probably a more well-rounded fighter in this one. If he can come back from Mir destroying his arm,
yeah.
We'll see. I think he can take this one. This is a winnable fight for him.
What else do you see on there?
I think there's the couple on the main card, Fabio Maldonado versus Glover Teixeira.
Okay.
I think it's more about Teixeira in this one because he is a very, very good prospect. And I think he's actually called out John Jones, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Before the fight. But I think he's probably going to win this fight against Fabio Maldonado. Although Maldonado is a pretty good boxer and could cause some problems for Teixeira, but I do think that Teixeira is going to be the more aggressive fighter and pull out that win. The next fight would be John Fitch versus Eric Silva.
Yes.
And the difference, the interesting thing is this is going to be for some relevance in the welterweight division, I think. Fitch has always been that perennial contender until he got beat by Johnny Hendricks there. But he's always going to be that guy. He's got all those skills, and he can take a guy for 15 minutes and lay on him. Silva is a very good striker, and letting the fight go for 15 minutes is opening Fitch up for some danger of being knocked out again.
True.
So I think that's a very close fight. I don't really know who wins it, but I think it's certainly an important fight on the card, at least for both these guys' careers. Winner moves up. Winner moves up. The loser is probably a gatekeeper.
Yeah, where Clay Guida, you know, is in
lightweight
division, unfortunately.
And I am the key master.
Yeah, so that's that big card. Now, of course, over the weekend, Batista made his MMA debut in a winning fashion. I believe it was a first-round TKO.
Interesting.
It was a first-round TKO. It was not a highly skilled fight. Dave was nervous. The first couple minutes of that fight, he was getting aggressively punched. He was.
How did he respond to the punches? I didn't have a chance to see it yet.
He did okay, but you could tell he was nervous. He was fighting. It was one of these situations where you go into the fight and then all your training just kind of goes.
Yeah.
Once the bell rings, because as soon as the fight starts, he starts dropping his hands and leaving himself wide open for the punches. This Lucino there. He was not a great fighter. He came in. What I didn't realize is this fight was a super heavyweight fight.
This
Lucero came in at 300 pounds.
Oh my God! How big was Batista at this point?
265 and a half.
And that's
without
the juice. That's without the juice.
He looked good though. He's a lot thinner than obviously he's a lot thinner. But he's, you know, he's still ripped to the heavens.
Jesus.
Eventually, he was able to get a takedown, and from there, he just kind of pounded out Lucero. Lucero just kind of turtled up, and after a minute or two, the fight was stopped.
I'm sure Batista would be damaging his fists, you know, the hammer fists. I'm sure that would be rather damaging.
You've got to think that. Now, I will give him credit. He didn't come in with the Brock Lesnar hammer fists. Machine gun hammer fist. He was actually throwing punches. You know, at 43, realistically, where can he go?
Yeah.
Back to WWE.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's going to do that. But
I think his heart's into the MMA. I think he really, you know, but unfortunately, age is a factor.
At 43, I was about to ask, what's the average age of somebody who lasts in MMA fighting like that?
Oh, they'd be gone.
Yeah.
There's only one guy right now there was, of course, Couture. There was Liddell, who looked like crap his last three or four fights. He really did. But Couture still had good fights.
Right.
Dan Henderson's really the only one at this point that's still around that's still a factor.
Yeah. No, I mean the thing with Batista.
Before you go on that, I had to get my Dan Henderson reference in this week. But go ahead.
Yes. good. Well, we could check that box. At 43 with Batista, with no martial arts training, no collegiate wrestling training either. There's a ceiling and a time limit on his career. I think he's just in it for the fun.
I'll just say the time limit is what, like 2 years, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because he doesn't have the wear and tear of lots of fights under his belt. Now, what professional wrestling has done to him is another story.
Yeah.
So that may be piling on too. I don't know where his body's at. But you know he's. But I think he's just doing it for fun. He said in interviews he realizes he's not going to be a champion. He said he'd like to fight again. I think it's fine to say I'm going to fight, kind of like Herschel Walker, fighting in Strikeforce the couple times he'd fought. You know, it's at 40 whatever 45 or whatever he was when
glad
he fought
I missed that.
Strikeforce. But. You know, it's give him let him fight some guys like Lucero and he can make a name for himself. He did donate his fight purse to charity, so I'm fine with it.
And it was
wow.
Yeah, it was a cancer charity, right?
I'm not sure what the charity was, but
most likely it was. He's really big about that. Batista hates cancer. It's a big thing.
So he's literally doing this for fun.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think he was one of the smart guys in WWE that actually
saved his money.
Yeah.
Because I hear you always hear stories of the guys who don't.
Yeah. Now, there was also the Invicta fights over the weekend. Just very briefly, how was that card?
I think it was a good card. There was some good action all the way throughout. We did crown a 105-pound atom weight champion in Jessica Penne. Which was a good fight. There was, you know, Invicta continues to put on good cards. I heard some criticism of it being not as good as the other ones, and there's always going to be the criticism about people not wanting to see women fight. I think those people are missing out on some good action. These girls come to fight. They're starting to show the skills that we've seen the men pick up over the last 10 years. I think it's a good card. Well put together production. I like the announce team, and I like the matchmaking. The matchmaking is all competitive fights, and I think it works for what it does. Now whether it's going to ever make money is questionable. Hopefully they can find a way to monetize it and keep going with the cards. But I think people should check it out as they go forward into 2013.
Okay, and also the last thing we're going to discuss is Strikeforce. It's done, apparently.
That may be premature. It certainly seems like there was certainly rumors this week that Strikeforce was done, and it seems like a natural choice.
You mean out of business?
Yeah. Well, it's owned by Zuffa, the parent company of UFC. So it was just a matter of time, quite frankly, before it was absorbed completely, I think.
Well, I think that's going to be the ultimate case. The problem is they have the situation ended up being the November 3rd card. They've lost their top three fights. They lost Cormier versus Mir. They lost Luke Rockhold's title defense. And they lost to Luke Rockhold getting injured. And then they just lost Sarah McMahon, who was the new prospect women's fighter who was Olympic wrestler. So they were hoping to groom her to fight Rousey, but she's injured as well. So they've lost the top three fights, much like the Strikeforce card of a few weeks ago when Melendez got injured. That fight was canceled, so it was kind of expected that this card may get canceled in the next week or so. That being said, I just saw Ariel Helwani just say that they have applied for their licenses to put this card on.
Really?
So it may be premature to say Strikeforce is dead. That being said, I think it's only a matter of time before we just end this now.
I mean, there was rumors for at least a year or two that it was going to be eventually merged into UFC, correct? Much like Pride and...
Yeah. Well, it's been rampant since they bought Strikeforce. The only thing that's really really kept Strikeforce alive, in my view, is the deal with Showtime and their contractual obligations to Showtime to put on shows. If Showtime has the option to continue to do continue into 2013, whether or not they'll pick up that option, I don't know. I kind of doubt it at this point, and I think that's probably best for everybody involved at this stage. Certainly for the Strikeforce fighters that aren't getting fights and frequently enough, and I think it's just a hassle for Zuffa and Showtime, quite frankly.
I mean, is it like wrestling where it's not good if the UFC? Excuse me, gentlemen. If the USC is alone, or is it just, it doesn't matter?
Well, the USC would not be alone if Strikeforce folds. There's still other companies out there. Bellator would be the number two at that point.
But there's numbers of regionals. I mean, there's rather large regionals, too, like Titan Fighting Championships and
I mean, with exposure as UFC has TV and such like that.
Well, UFC is its own. It's the WWE of MMA. I mean,
right.
It's global.
I mean, really. as far as at least nationwide coverage and TV exposure, that would be it.
The Bellator, but, yeah, like
yeah, yeah. You know, honestly, the parallels of pro wrestling are pretty good in the situation. You got UFC, which would be the WWE equivalent. You would have, assuming Strikeforce told, you'd have Bellator, which would be the kind of TNA equivalent.
Yeah,
they've got national TV ratings, but they just don't have that much of a fan or that much of a that much money.
Wow.
But they're going to be on Spike TV next year, nationally syndicated.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to be there. And then you have the regional promotions. Like Dean was talking about, you have Invicta for the women. There's a lot of parallels to the you know, the ROHs of the world and the indies of the world.
And it always upsets me, and I don't understand why, because I could watch an hour's worth of women's wrestling as much as I could watch an hour's worth of WWE. I could watch an hour's worth of women fighting as much as I could watch an hour's worth of guys fighting each other. You know what I mean? I hate that gets the back seat.
It does. It does, unfortunately.
It does, yeah.
Oh, well, I think that I was about to cough. That's why I was so excitable there. But, wow, so a lot going on in MMA. I think we covered wrestling pretty well with the roundtable, the return of the roundtable. So there's not much more to do, guys. We're almost out of here. So, all I got to say,
show.
It was. It really was. I just want to say this again publicly. Privately, I will say it again. Tony Mameluke, thank goodness he's such a great guy.
Yes.
Hung out there throughout all those difficulties in the very beginning of the show. People listening to the edited episode will not know what I'm talking about. But thank goodness he hung out and he was there with us, and his patience, and great guy.
The scholar.
Yes. We also had Papadon. You can find, really the best way to find Tony Mameluke is on Facebook. Just search for Tony Mameluke. Papadon you can find at Greek Doc Papadon on Twitter. Keikoa joined us to talk about the K-Cup. That's at Keikoa FH. Brady Hicks, at Brady Hicks. You can find him at www.thebradyhicks.com. Tons of places you can find Brady. He has his finger in so many pies. He's going to be my broadcast partner coming up soon. It's great. And, of course, referee Jimmy DeLong, I guess it is?
No, Dylon.
Dylon? Is it
Dylon? That's what he said.
Okay, so it's Dylon. I've been wrong all this time. I feel like a fool. He never corrected me. It's like Keikoa. He never corrected me either. So you can find him. What is it, RefJimmy215?
RefJimmy215 on Twitter.
Okay, and also check out NMRWrestling.com. PG-13 is coming up on the 27th. Also check out ECWAProWrestling.com. They have 2 weeks, two more events. They got
2 weeks?
Yeah, they got...
So they got three in a row? Oh, no. They have 1 week off, and then they have one the very next weekend.
Yeah, they have the 13th at Carney's Point, at the YMCA there in Carney's Point. You can get tickets at the YMCA, or you can go to the website and do it through PayPal.
ECWA is on fire, ladies and gentlemen, so if you get a chance, we tout all these independent shows. The ticket prices are amazing. $15, $10, go to the shows.
One of these days I'm going to get to one.
I hope so. You know, we got to have a Hell in a Cell conclave, because... I think that would be a great thing.
Conclave.
Quite possibly. We might have... Never mind, I'm not going to...
No.
Omega, you have to... You are my conscience.
Dean? Dean?
Yeah.
Dean?
Yeah. Okay. I almost... okay. Also, they're going to be in Sewell at Sports and More. That's coming up on the 20th. That's going to be headlined by Papadon versus Tony Mameluke, two of our guests tonight. That's amazing. You got to check that out, too.
We're main event stars, folks.
Yes. Yes. Yes! And then, November 3rd, they're back at Newark, Delaware at the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club. And you're going to see a Four Corners match with Josh Daniels. You're going to see Papadon. You're going to see Chris Wilde, Tony Mamaluk. It's an amazing match.
That's a match I really want to see.
Make your plans now.
Both.
Did I just become Don West? What happened there?
You did.
Make your plans now, people.
And now you're going to try to sell me something and do bad commentary.
Yes, yes. Well, that's my plan with New Moon Rising Wrestling. So check out ECWAProWrestling.com. They got a lot of events. They're trying to please the people. So definitely check out that. Also check out TheBradyHicks.com. We're there. So that's enough of a reason, quite frankly. Also, UFC.com for more information about this Saturday's big pay-per-view. You could just see the greatest fighter in the world today do his thing, or you could see the greatest upset, quite frankly, in MMA history. Now, Dan, Friday, and Omega, if you can make it Friday, we're teaming up with the Dream Warriors Horror Cast.
Dream Warriors.
For a Walking Dead Season 3 preview. Now, that's coming late night, 11 p.m. will be the time. So, if you can make it, that's great.
Looking forward to it.
If not, screw you.
Can you make it?
I should be able to. I have no life.
Okay, I'm
glad. Apparently.
Apparently. No, yeah, I think I can make it, yeah. So
that's 11 p.m. Friday
11
night.
11 p.m., just same channel, folks. Tune in. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, I have some people tuning in as well. You're going to want to listen, folks. A little preview and a little review. A little comparison with the comic book to the TV show. A whole bunch of stuff.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Next week, we have Joe Gacy from CZW.
Yes.
And Sideshow Pro.
Yes.
Drew Blood. Now, he is a CZW veteran. He suffered a career-ending injury. But he's making a comeback, people.
Whoa.
He's making a comeback. He is involved with DWF. He's actually involved in the CZW tapings that are coming up Friday night in Philadelphia. They have this Wired podcast that they do. He's going to be part of the TV taping. So Drew Blood will be there. And also, Missy Sampson.
Yes.
Missy Sampson, a woman who I had the chance to motorboat but turned it down.
Yeah. You wouldn't motorboat Missy Sampson?
Lucky 13 was there with the CZW World Tag Team titles, and he said, hey, $5, you can motorboat Missy. I just thought it was a little, I don't know.
I would have given him 10.
She was up for it.
I would have given him $10, sure.
But that's a true story. We'll talk about that maybe next week. she has her hand. She wrestles out in Reading, Pennsylvania. She has a lot going on. She's at every... But she's like at every independent show. Like, anytime I'm at an independent show, she's there somehow.
Even a show that won't book her.
She's wrestling, Dan.
I know that. Because we campaign.
Yeah, so...
Fans get what they want. A good booker gives the fans what they want, and that's what they're getting.
She is going to be wrestling Jessie Kay, who we've had on the show previously.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We can talk about that match. I believe it's at Carney's Point that they're going to wrestle, so...
Oh, we're talking about it. We're going to talk about that in Motorboat.
Yes, that's all I have planned for it, quite frankly. That's going to be a 9 p.m. start as well. Because I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not going to wait until 7:30 to tell you this week, Dan. So.
Okay. I appreciate that more than you know.
You know, I'll let you
hashtag
know.
Shoot.
Yeah, but Joe Gacy, that's always a great interview. Going to talk about the Sideshow Pro show coming up on the 20th. Ah, I'm just so excited. A lot going on here at Hell in a Cell. We have 8 episodes. Coming up in the month of October. So,
wait, what?
8 episodes. We already had, this is like our 4th one in the month. We're crazy.
Where's the time go?
I know.
And I do want to honestly think that there is a solid fan base which grows. Even if it's a little bit, it does grow. And I want to thank you guys for listening. It makes it worth doing where, you know, I go from something where 2 people listen a week and I don't want to do it to many, many people listening, and it makes me want to do it, and I want to thank you and Dean for giving me an outlet.
And you know what? It's nice when you're at a show and somebody will come over and talk to you based on the show. It's happened a few times.
I had that like last time. Like, oh, you're Dan from Hell in a Cell. My head exploded. I was like, huh?
It happens. It happens. If Omega makes it up here, it's
magic. Will happen, because Omega, his name is Omega, for Christ's sake.
It is Omega, but you know what? I'm so happy with how this show turned out tonight. So, guys, if there's nothing else, I guess we'll see you Friday, right?
Friday night, folks. 11 o'clock. I'll get
the zombie apocalypse.
Mother Superior jumped the gun.